All right, as Jesus was traveling throughout Judea during his earthly ministry, he developed what many would consider to be an unlikely enemy. Devout religious Jews. Now you would think that these Pharisees, they would be the last ones to cause any trouble. They were Bible believers. They looked forward to the coming Messiah. They were strict in their obedience to the rules and requirements of the Old Testament. And then who comes on the scene? Well, here comes the Messiah. And here comes on the scene the single hope for all mankind. And he didn't keep all the rules the way they thought that he should. He didn't eat the right diet. He didn't follow all the rituals. And worst of all, he didn't keep the Sabbath. At least not in the way they thought he should. You see, over the course of years since the law was given to Moses, Jewish teachers had developed hundreds and hundreds of additional rules and regulations regarding Sabbath observance. And these rules made it virtually impossible for anyone to really faithfully keep the Sabbath. You couldn't carry sticks. Here's a few examples. Couldn't carry sticks. You could only walk a certain number of steps on the Sabbath. You couldn't cook. You couldn't talk about business. You couldn't help people. You couldn't heal people. And the greatest source of conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees was the fact that he was out healing people on the Sabbath. And that just rubbed them raw. They just couldn't stand that. So Jesus responded to their criticism. He said, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." The problem with the Pharisees is that they were religious, but they weren't spiritual. And Jesus' attitude toward that whole problem was this: when your religion gets in the way of your spiritual life, lose your religion. Now understand what I'm saying this morning. Now religion is a word that means different things to different people. In our society, generally, it's a negative connotation. And in the sense that I'm going to use the word religion this morning, it is in a negative connotation. I'm using the word religion to define a certain attitude by which we approach God. Throughout history, every tribe, nation, people, group, whatever you want to call it, every culture, they've got religious life in one way or another. And these religions may appear to be very different from one to another, but they're all basically the same. They're all cultic systems designed by men to reach God. In fact, that's how you could define religion: man's attempt to reach a holy God. Christianity is 180 degrees off. It's just the opposite. It's God coming down to man. And the message of the gospel is that God reaches down to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The message of the gospel is that God was willing to do whatever it takes because He loves us so much. He's willing to do whatever it takes for us to be in a right relationship with Him. If there are sins, He'll forgive them. If there are obstacles, He'll remove them. If there's a gap between God and man, He'll bridge that gap, even at the price of sending His Son to die on a cross to cover our sins. Talk about love. I can't grasp it. I can't grasp it fully. Whatever it takes for us to be right with Him, He is willing to do. In fact, He's already done it. And He's waiting for us to respond. And this morning I think of Jesus in Revelation 3:20 knocking on the door. waiting for our heart of hearts to open the door and allow Him in. Let's turn to Matthew 11:28 this morning. You know, the message of Jesus is so radically different from the teachings of the Pharisees that one couldn't be a religious Pharisee and a follower of Jesus Christ. It was like, I don't know, vinegar and baking soda. The two just won't mix without a lot of mess. Christianity isn't a religion. Not in the sense that we use the word today. See, by its very nature, a religion will lead to one of two things. It'll lead to guilt, or it'll lead to pride. If you have a strict set of man-made standards and you're one of the few who can stick to all them standards, then you've got reason to be proud. If you've got a strict set of standards you've got to live by and you find yourself unable to live up to them, well, then you've got reason to feel guilty. So whenever you see man-made guidelines, you see pride and you see guilt. Now what is sad is that many people think Christianity is the same way. That those who are good at it have reason to be proud, and those who aren't good at it have reason to feel guilty. But Jesus Christ wants to take us beyond all that garbage and bring us to the point where we can make the transition between being merely religious to being truly spiritual. He wants us to recognize that Christianity is not living out a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's living out a relationship with a Father who loves us and who sent His Son to die for us. I tell you, once Jesus is Lord of your life, then you start living. Then you start learning how to live and how to love and how to serve. The community takes notes. They say, what is different about that person? And Jesus gives us a little glimpse of this whole thing right here in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 31. In this passage, we're going to quickly see three things that we can do to take ourselves beyond being merely religious to becoming truly spiritual. First of all, if you have your notes today, first of all, an easy one. He says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus taught that He is the way. He made it clear that He is the only way. What did He say? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And John 3:16, whoever believes in Him will have what? Eternal life. Now the New Testament teaches that Jesus really is the focus of all creation. And you can see Jesus throughout the Old Testament as well. He is the very center of the universe. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the lover of you and me. And He says, come to me. Make me the center of your life. Make me your best friend. Your forever friend. I'll give you rest. Now most of us understand this principle when it comes to salvation. And we can all say with assurance that Jesus is the only way to the Father. And most of us are familiar, at least, with the verse that says, there is no salvation in anyone else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. That narrows it down to one eternal entity, and that is Jesus Christ. All the other religions fail to supply that truth. Now, we know that Jesus is the door to salvation. And the trouble is, we often forget that only He is the door to life. We trust Jesus to save our soul, but many of us are afraid to trust Him with our happiness. We try to be happy without Him. We try to be successful without Him. Oh, we like the Savior part. Oh my. We just don't like the Lord. Just don't like the Lord part. So you know what we do? We put the Savior part of our relationship with Christ on the old trophy shelf, and it kind of gathers dust, and we start making our own rules for life. And we play the game our way. And believe me, you know, as we look into this apologetic series coming up, believe me, when we do that, the world sees the game that we play. We end up alienating those around us who really do want a relationship. They really do want answers. They desperately need Christ. And one of the greatest hindrances of the work of evangelism is Christians who have traded their relationship for religion. Here's what happens when you place your faith on all the extra man-made laws. And oh, we like to do that. Jesus slowly stops being your best friend when we start adding and living to man-made laws. He fades from being a constant acquaintance. Eventually, you start becoming really miserable and you're stressed out on the time and you can't quite figure out why. And even kind of hold up these man-made laws and stuff in your own system, and you start getting angry when other people aren't abiding by this system that you've created, that you've glummed on to. We all carry burdens. We all deal with the challenges and problems in life. You've got problems, I've got problems, all God's children's got problems. The last thing any of us needs is an extra book of written or unwritten laws to live by. I kind of like the Bible. We are people of the book. And Jesus extended the invitation to us all. He says, come to me. I'll give you rest. Another problem is that a lot of us aren't yet able to admit that our burden is too great to bear. Some of us aren't willing to admit that we can't make it on our own. We're just too proud to say, Jesus, I'm weak. Jesus, I need somebody strong. When we come to the point where we can acknowledge our need for Him and we open the door, the Revelation 3:20 door, to allow Him to come in, and that relationship begins. Maybe begins again. Maybe I should add that this morning. So let me ask before I go any farther this morning, you know, think about your own situation. Oh, it's soup to nuts in here. We got all kinds of situations, I know. In what area of your life might you be trying to make it today without God's help? I tell you, some of the strongest people I know are those who are dealing with long-term health problems. I tell you what, I enjoy sitting at their feet because their faith is being perfected in weakness. I remember what the Apostle Paul says when he tells us in 2 Corinthians 12 that at one time in his life, he asked the Lord three times to remove a personal affliction. And he shares what the answer was. And that same answer oftentimes is ours as well. And Paul writes, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul responds to that. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. When a person gets to the point where they're sick of the showtime religion with all the added rules, and they're ready to open the door to a real relationship with Jesus Christ, wonderful things begin happening. And if you want to go from merely religious to being truly spiritual, let me ask you this morning, and let you can just answer in your heart of hearts, who is your best friend? You have to get to the point where you can admit your weaknesses, first to yourself and then to God. And it's then, it's only then, that you can respond to Jesus' invitation that would simply is, come to me. And we lay all those man-made laws and burdens at His feet, and He gives us rest. Ah, precious rest. Second point this morning. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now the farmers will get this. We're in a farming community. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, Jesus is talking about the agricultural method here that was common in the first century. The yoke is an instrument that goes around the neck of the ox, and he's able to then pull the plow or whatever. And whenever a young ox needed to be trained, he'd be hooked up to that, to the yoke on the other side of that older ox. And the older ox, he'd pull the plow and the yoke with that yoke, and the younger ox would just kind of have to follow along. And after a while, that younger ox started figuring out what the story was there. Jesus says, and by the way, that younger ox really wasn't pulling any load, or very little of the load, but he was learning what the process was. He was following the footsteps of that older ox. And when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, basically he's saying, hey, walk in my footsteps. That's why I love the Gospels. You see how Jesus lived when He was here with us. Go the way that I go. Take the paths that I take. Let me carry the load. Let me teach you how to live. And Jesus is challenging us to make a commitment to discipleship. He's challenging us to make a commitment to walk the walk, to follow Him, to be like Him. He says that He will make it as easy as possible. Now, we know that following Jesus is not always going to be easy. Even though through the tough times, He's going to be pulling the yoke. He'll be carrying the load. What does Jesus say next? Point three. You will find rest. I love that. He says, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, what does Jesus mean here by rest for your souls? Now, in the original language, the word translated rest is literally an intermission. An intermission. He's promising us an opportunity to get a second wind. Take a short breather. Take a break. We'd be baling hay, and oh, I was glad when that wagon got full, we could take a little break before we got hooked up to the next wagon. A little intermission. Now, Jesus never promises that our circumstances will always be pleasant, but He promises that we can experience tranquility even in the midst of the storm. Listen to His words this morning. He says, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Are you resting in the Lord today? John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." In the busyness of life, John 10:10, what is said? "I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly." And all those things knit together with today's passage, "I will give you rest." When is the last time you just kind of climbed up into the lap of our Lord and just rested with Him? I know it's a busy life. In spite of what is happening in your life right now, you can experience God's peace. Even in the midst of the turmoil. Hey, maybe today you find that you're not in a valley, but you're up on a mountaintop, or maybe a nice plateau. Perhaps you're living a relatively easy life right now. Maybe today you're down in a valley and even dealing with some depression. And perhaps today you've become so concerned with externals that you're missing Christ's promise for peace. I tell you, I see so many extra rules being perpetrated on folks today who are truly seeking a relationship with God. And we have to be careful, because we can so easily become just like the Pharisees of old. We have that bent in us. Black cloth here. Suit and tie there. Blue jeans here. Hair length there. Steel wheels. Black bumpers. I tell you, we humans are really, really good at adding laws that makes it harder to reach pre-Christians. We are so good at that. And it's terrible. And all these little additions can so easily detract from your relationship with Christ. Man-made rules. They end up being used by prideful people to control the religious activities of guilty people. And in some circles, Christianity has become so overloaded with man-made laws that having an actual relationship with Jesus Christ is bypassed. And you just got to follow all these extra rules. But here's Jesus' promise. You can find rest for your soul. You can get the second wind that you need. You can do that today. You can do that right now. You can experience the peace that you're looking for. But I tell you, you can't make it happen. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Open the door and let it happen. Let me illustrate from the world of baseball. You know, it's baseball season. My favorite play in baseball is the squeeze play. There's a runner on third base, and he's just chomping at the bit to get home. And he is not going to wait for that ball to get hit. So when the pitcher winds up to start his delivery, this dude takes off for home plate. Now, the poor batter, he's got two things he's got to do. He's got to try his best to make contact with that ball no matter where that ball is going. And then he's got to get out of the way, because this train's running in. And that runner, he'll plow over the catcher or anybody that's in the way to try to get to home plate. Now, when it's done right, it's a thing of beauty. But the bad thing is, many of us live like that all the time. Every day of our lives, every relationship, every job, every event, it's just one squeeze play after another. And we get to the point where we can't rest. We don't wait for the details to fall into place. We just kind of push through life. We plow through life. We mow down any obstacle in our path. And we make our own rules. That is not the way to experience peace. Jesus says, I am gentle. I am humble in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The only way for you to ever experience rest is to surrender the reins of your life to Christ and follow His way. His way is not pushy. It is gentle. And He promises rest. Again, we can't make it happen, but we can certainly let it happen. He's standing at the door right now, waiting. He's waiting. And every once in a while, in the stillness of our hearts, we hear the knock. We hear the knock. Let's stand this morning. There's a big difference between being religious and being spiritual. Being religious is trying to reach God on our own. It's a squeeze play, badly executed. Jesus says, lose the religion. Trade it in on a relationship with me, Jesus says. And you'll experience what all the other religions fail to accomplish. Rest, peace, joy. How about it today? How about it today? If you have a sense this morning that maybe you've been living by some man-made laws, or that maybe you've had too many irons in the fire and you just haven't slowed down enough to climb up into God's lap and rest in Him, now's your opportunity. Let Him come back in. I'm going to say a simple prayer. You just follow along in your heart this morning if you so desire. Father God, thank You for Your faithful Word. Father, thank You that You're always pursuing that relationship with me. Thank You for loving me. And Father, for whatever reason is going on right now, throughout this room, in the silence of this time, we'd ask that You would reach in. As the doors open back up to You, that You would enter in and bring that sweet relief that You promise. Oh, Father, we love You. Make us into the people that You want us to be. Lord, make me the little boy, the little girl, the man, the woman that You desire us to be. And in that process, Father, help us to rest in Your Son, who died for us. In Jesus' name, amen.